This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Fox's alert, a suspected chemical weapons attack killing dozens in northern Syria. We warn you, some of this video, it's graphic, it's disturbing. One activist group reports at least 58 are dead, including several children. Kitty Logan picks up the story from London with more, and what have you learned, Kitty?
Bill, well, if this is confirmed, it could turn out to be the worst attack of its kind in 6 years of fighting in Syria. It happened early this morning in the northern province of Idlib, and the video we're seeing coming out of the town of Khan Sheikhoun shows the injured in hospital struggling to breathe. Patients are hooked up to ventilators, doctors frantically trying to save lives. One monitoring group, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, says many of the victims were seen choking or fainting, and doctors treating those affected say the symptoms do indicate a gas attack. Now, sadly, many children were caught up in this. 11 of the dead are said to be under 8 years old, and there's also dozens of people seriously wounded, and doctors saying now they're struggling to treat all of the victims with limited medical resources available, and many injured patients may not survive. Now, there's no information yet on what chemical was used, but judging by the video we've seen, it has a devastating effect so far. Now, this attack happened in an area under opposition control. Now, many people fled to Idlib from Aleppo when it fell, that city fell to government forces. So there are hundreds of thousands displaced there and many, many rebel fighters. So Syrian forces do continue to attack that area from the air despite a ceasefire. Now, activists claim a chemical agent was dropped in some of those airstrikes today. But the UN says it will be investigating a chemical. Weapons watchdog says that investigation has already begun, Bill.
Well, and when you look at the devastation, like you, I say, what is taking them so long? You know, this has been a targeted area, you know, by Russian jets and also the government, the Assad government. You know, what, again, what comes to mind, I know you're saying the same thing. What happened to the red line? We know what happened to the red line. It's basically non-existent. It was non-existent for our government, non-existent for the international community. This should be absolutely outraged over this. And meanwhile, they know, and I say they, those who are doing this, know that the international community, led by the United States, which hasn't really been led by the United States, but I will say now that Donald Trump's in the position and our Secretary of State, Tillerson, that they should be at the forefront of this. This is unacceptable that the people are being gassed, children, civilians, you know, en masse like this. I mean, this is a war crime. If you, at any level, however way you want to put it, these officials are guilty of executing civilians like this. I mean, they're just, the outrage is, or I want to say even lack thereof, Scott, because people should just be screaming from the rooftops over this. I mean, 58 people killed, dozens wounded in this suspected chemical attack. And, of course, we have to be politically correct, so now it's an alleged, it's a suspected chemical attack, but for those that are reporting on the ground, say the way the people are dying and the whole process, that for them, clearly, it is a it was a chemical attack.
The video is very, he's right, it is a disturbing video. I mean, they're showing people that are on the ground and they're struggling to breathe.
Can you imagine? And a lot of these are children. I mean, you're watching your children choking like this?
Definitely. And then there's the other part of this, is that when this all first started, they told Assad, if you use chemical weapons, we'll come in. Well, then the rebels went and used chemical weapons and tried to blame Assad. They bombed their own people.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to...
No doubt it's a mess there. No doubt. Look, at the conversation continues. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez, looking at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
You're doing something very wrong.
Did the pace accelerate during the transition, perhaps in early December? Perhaps when the president ordered an investigation into the hacking, the Russian hacking. Did the pace of unmasking requests, of your unmasking requests, accelerate toward the end of the White House tenure?
And I can't say the pace of unmasking requests would accelerate, but if you're asking were there more reports provided to senior U.S. officials after the president requested the compilation of the intelligence, which was ultimately provided in January, yes. What happened was, as the IC went about the business...
The intelligence community went about the business of following up on the president's order.
Fulfilling the president's request for such a report. They went back and scrubbed more reports. They began to provide more such reports to American officials, including myself.
And
well, this is Susan Rice. A couple of weeks after, or a week after, she made the statement that not one iota. I mean, she didn't know anything about it. Now suddenly, she knows something about it. I don't. This is confounding to me, and it's sad that you know, we're looking to get information from Susan Rice once again. I know people are being real careful and saying just because she lied before doesn't mean she's lying now. Well, I mean, we're twisting ourselves up into knots. I mean, this is what happens. This is what attorneys do all the time, is they will get a witness, and if they can, you know, break down and invalidate a witness and put their credibility into question, then they're really not credible for testimony. And this is the problem with Susan Rice. I mean, right now, we're trying to figure out what's going on, and this is a convoluted mess, which has been typical of the previous administration. I think politics in general, you might argue. And and I know everybody wants to be careful about indicting Susan Rice and, you know, the way this has come about. You know, thank goodness we have some investigators that are doing their job. They're investigating and finding out exactly what happened. I mean, you know, does this matter? You know, does this matter to you? Do you care that the Trump administration, I mean, now we're finding out, Scott, that they were tracking on Trump even a year before. I mean, this goes long, even early on to
when
it.
He was
his,
in the primary. Is
yeah, in the primary.
Like,
and they, yeah.
Where they started really going after him. And I don't know if you noticed. Have you noticed that... They're pulling right out of the Hillary Benghazi playbook here. If you go back and look at all the answers that she gave surrounding Benghazi, they're all coming back out, including now to where they're saying, well, they're only attacking Susan Rice because she's a woman. They would never do this if she was a man.
Yes, right.
Well, what are you talking about? So, you know, I fully expect to hear at some point in time the, well, what does it matter?
Right, exactly. And Dr. Krautheimer and others are saying, look at, you know, in the position that she was in, she's a political operative. What is she doing dealing with intelligence? She had no business viewing this stuff. That's not her position. But again, go back to what President Obama had done. See, I think there's a lot more to that action. When President Obama opened up the gates, you know, right before he left office, there was some purpose behind that. And of course, you hear from Dr. Farkas that the reason was that they were trying to preserve the information that was there. And, you know, and when you listen to that interview and what she said, I mean, this is craziness. I mean, this is tyrannical. I mean, this is third world kind of government stuff. And, you know, and I'm not sure the Main Street American really understands, you know, the depth of what has happened here, because it doesn't directly affect them. It does in an indirect sort of way, but not directly. I don't think, you know, they're not seeing it quite in their pocketbook. They're not, I mean, you got most people don't even read the Constitution, Scott, so how are they going to understand things that, you know, that directly affect our rights that are enumerated in the Constitution?
What it did was it allowed our intelligence agencies to be politicized. And you're seeing that. How is it that over, you know, the Clintons, the Bush, and the Obama administrations, 24 years, how is it that we've never heard this much information about a president?
Mm-hmm.
We have never heard this much information about a president and what's going on in his administration.
You're talking Trump versus, certainly Barack Obama, because we've heard so little about Barack Obama. You know, this has been the ongoing argument of, you know, the lack of vetting. I mean, our friend out in New Zealand, Trevor Loudon, did more vetting on behalf of We the People than investigators or newspapers here in this country alone. I mean, we were kind of just left to, you know, follow the dots and connect them ourselves. And by the time you go down that road, then, you know, the mainstream media and others would want you to think that you've got a tinfoil hat on your head. And you're just another one of those conspirators because, you know, just because the president's birth certificate or his social security card and all his aliases and all that mounts up to nothing. That is totally irrelevant to who Barack Obama was. But I'll tell you what, if Donald Trump could not produce a birth certificate, I mean, look at what they're doing. They're twisting themselves up in knots because they're not seeing his tax returns. And they did get, they were able to.
The one that they did get, it didn't give them what they wanted.
it kind of touched their appetite a little bit. But, you know, again, it proves the point all the more what we've talked about. This guy's a billionaire. I mean, he's got so many zeros on the end of the number. I mean, here he is. He turns over. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are shocked. They're looking at his first quarter paycheck, right? 78 grand plus, you know, and he turns it over to a government agency. And as Sean Spicer said, you'd be surprised how difficult it is to give away your money, you know, to a government agency. And the president decided to, you know, do it for land development and, you know, for, you know, public land and, you know, the forestry and, you know, in that division because they needed it. They're doing some good things. So he gave his first quarter. I mean, 78,000. I mean, people are right. You know, and then you have here he gives his money away. And then you got people, you know, the media kicking him at the heels because, you know, of security in Mar-a-Lago and, you know, him, you know, going to New York and the added security that involves and that sort of thing. You know, somebody needs to do some forensics on this and compare what the security was for, you know, for the previous presidents versus now. And last time I checked, I don't think either one of those previous presidents turned back the, you know, a $78,000 first quarter paycheck.
No, they didn't. Otherwise, they'd be revered as the second coming or something.
Certainly the last one. And you might be right. You might be a little Freudian, but you might be right that, you know, the previous president was the second coming. But the second coming of what? You know, I think that's yet to be determined. But keep in mind, remember we said that we were going to find out more about Barack Obama post his presidency, that some of these things are going to start to creep out. And it's interesting, even the statements from Dr. Farkas, I'm surprised that she said what she said You know, some of this stuff is starting to leak out because it just needs an escape, I think. So eventually, get ready. The truth will be known. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We're coming at 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1G 2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
So the backdrop of this missile test, the kind of test you've written about in your books, is the meeting tomorrow between President Trump and the Premier of China. What should the posture of President Trump and the United States government be at this point, given what's happening in North Korea toward China?
Well, I think that, you know, the United States and the White House announcement yesterday was essentially the clock has run out on North Korea. Well, I think that the position of President Trump when he speaks to Chinese President Xi Jinping is the clock is almost run out on China, because China has supplied critical ballistic missile equipment and perhaps, probably, critical ballistic missile technology. Like the plans for this solid fuel missile probably had a Chinese origin. I think President Trump needs to ask how the North Koreans got that. And that's the way the conversation should start.
And so what happens, what flows from there? President Trump effectively accuses China of aiding and abetting North Korea in its efforts to get a nuclear weapon. What does that do to the American-Chinese relationship?
Well, certainly it's not going to be a good one, because at some point we have to confront these issues. You know, China has also helped the North Korean nuclear weapons program as well. And you know, we have not had these conversations with China because we didn't want to upset Chinese leaders. So I think it's important that we face these issues and get some answers from China. If we don't do that, I think what we're doing is we're showing the Chinese we're afraid of them and that we will let them continue to help the North Koreans in ways that are very destructive.
Well, Gordon Chang on the situation, the growing tension in North Korea, and of course the upcoming meeting with President Trump and the President of China, Xi Jinping. You got to face this. They put it off long enough. I mean, this is the problem with kicking the can down the road, as they say. It just gets more and more complicated. And how much more complicated do you want it? You've got Kim Jong-un, who continues to flex his muscles and firing off missiles out into the ocean. And, you know, does he think this is all going to go unnoticed? I mean, we know what is happening. And, how far along do you want him to go? Do you want to wait until a nuclear bomb is exploded and that he fires it off? I mean, with each delay and each, moment of increasing confidence and attitude that the North Koreans are developing here, the United States is in danger, the international community is in danger, and China needs to step up here. I know this is going to bring some tensions to Mar-a-Lago, and there's a reason that the president of China, I believe, is meeting with our president later on this week. And clearly, this has to be the number one agenda item that they have to deal with. And so China's response is really going to be critical in terms of the future relationships of the United States and China, because, you start getting the domino effect. I mean, keep in mind, we still haven't addressed the situation of their military island that suddenly they built up and are claiming, some sort of territorial space to it, and threatening, our ships and threatening our surveillance aircraft because somehow they've entered this, this self-appointed, territory for China. Not to mention the fact that, it wasn't set up to, grow poppy seeds or, to grow vegetation. I mean, it is a military island that's set up there. I don't know how the international, I can tell you, New Zealand and Australia and those there around the South China Sea are looking at it very, very concerned and wondering, okay, what next? So,
with Japan. I mean, Japan's always been worried about what China does. So.
Of course. Yes, of course, Japan. And, this is all part and parcel of what's going to go on. Like I say, if these dominoes start falling, then what's the next step? You know, what happens? If China is not going to be an ally and pull back North Korea, then there's all kinds of implications. You know, we've got trade issues, there's economic issues, everything starts coming into play here. So,
Well, you know, and China can be the biggest help in this, because it's like you go out to a bar with a group of friends. A lot of times, if one of your friends gets out of line, the bouncer will actually come over to the group of guys and say, hey, can you help us with your friend here?
Right, exactly.
And that's what we're doing right now. We're saying, hey, can you help us with this guy?
Right.
I mean, he's, you know, Kim Jong-un has, or is it, well, whatever, whichever Kim it is.
Yeah.
He's been very adamant in his, we are going to launch missiles at the United States.
Right, exactly.
And he's taken every step he can to make that happen.
And quite a bit different, you know, I believe, with this administration versus, you know, versus the previous administration. You know, if you say we're at war with you, they're going to take it seriously. You know, this is why ISIS was able to get away with as much as they were able to get away with. And look at, we've got a more complex problem today because, you know, we wanted to ignore the fact that they declared war on us. You know, if people declare war on you, what are you supposed to do? You know, do what we did in the last 8 years, and then all of a sudden now we got to pay for it. It's the same thing. You know, Bill Clinton did the same thing, handed the baton off to, you know, George Bush. Hey, it's not my problem anymore. It's all yours. And here it is. And, you know, and now we have a president that becomes a wartime president when he was looking at focusing on domestic issues. Thank you very much. But you cannot blight the military. You can't do what was done in the previous administrations, and we have to learn from that. And, you know, and here we are. We have not learned from it, and this is why Donald Trump is proposing a very aggressive military budget. And even with that aggressive military budget, we're so far behind that it's going to take a while to catch up. It's not going to happen overnight. We may have to bring back Betty the Riveter again, you know, you know, one more time.
And yeah. I think that's what we need to avoid here. And that's why you have to, you know, sometimes ask the hard question. Hey, did you give them this stuff?
Right.
Did you give them this technology? Because you're not, that's not helping anybody.
Right. Well, I think it's obvious. I mean, it's almost a rhetorical question. Did you give it to them? I mean, it has made in China all over it. So, yeah, it's obvious that, you know, and if that was not your intent, then you better have an intent to stop the flow of these elements that are going to North Korea that's empowering them, number one. Number two, you better have a direct conversation with them, because as they're saying, the clock has run out here. America does not want to continue to, you know, deal with this same issue time and time again. Well, look at, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we get two international issues that we're looking at in North Korea, also the gassing there, the alleged gassing, as they say, in Syria. And then we're back here at home dealing with the Gorsuch confirmation and whether or not there's going to be, you know, the next step of the nuclear, you know, I guess, screw, you know, planted and twisted into the into procedures for the Senate. Will that happen? I think it's a big mistake for Democrats to call that question and to force a nuclear option. I believe that there's some Democrats in their wisdom are seeing what this will do in terms of really setting precedent that was already done, you know, by Harry Reid. I mean, forget what some of these alleged mainstream media news operatives are telling you, that, you know, they want to escape any kind of responsibility. They want to spin this in such a way, like as if it's the Republicans have no other way. I mean, the Republicans are the ones that are establishing precedent here that it wasn't Harry Reid, but clearly it was. But be that as it may, how do you in good conscience reject somebody like Gorsuch, who is about as mainstream as you can be? I don't know how much more mainstream you can get. But I guess if you listen to Al Franken and Dianne Feinstein, you can twist yourself into knots to try to, you know, come up with a reason why Gorsuch should not be confirmed. But no question whatsoever, the Merrick Garland issue is there. I think also their non-acceptance of a Republican president, and particularly Donald Trump. The angst toward Donald Trump and his administration continues, and that is on display in full bloom.
This report is brought to you by Odor Eaters.
Good.
Ripley's, believe it or not, hosted the annual National Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest in New York City. This year, seven participants from across the country worked hard to stink up their shoes for a chance to win the national title. But only one rancid pair of sneakers could take the prize of $2,500 with an additional two-night stay in New York City, tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin, and a supply of Odor Eater's products to kick out the odor from his funky footwear. This year, Connor Slocum was the grand prize winner. Rachel Hertz, Ph.D., author and professor, Brown University.
It's amazing how foul kids' sneakers can get from just everyday activities. These keep getting more rotten every year. We're happy to have this contest where kids can find a place to be themselves and have fun. The Rotten Sneaker Contest allows them to be proud of themselves and just be kids.
To learn more, visit www.odoreaters.com or the Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest Facebook page.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the run list? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
When a storm causes power loss for a whole day, it can seem endless. There's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power for not just days, but for months or longer. Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. And CENTCOM General Lloyd Austin says it's not a question of if, but when. That's why Americans are rushing to secure solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. And the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all. Portable and lightweight, providing up to 1500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. If a blackout strikes, you'll have power for heat, lights, cell phones and computers, and critical medical devices, all from the rechargeable solar power. Our first introduction sold out fast, and with high demand, we can't guarantee keeping the supply in stock. Stay protected with the power you need. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. Right now, enjoy our special easy pay option. Just go to blackout27.com. That's blackout27.com. Blackout27.com.
KADC, there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
And I say not only D.C., they need to remember. We the people need to remember. I mean, that is the document that gives us the power, and it also indicts us because we have been lax in exercising the authority that belongs to us. Though we're a representative government, and we hand that off with every voting cycle that comes on, we still have the responsibility to make sure that they're doing our bidding. Talking about D.C. here, but if you're not connected with your Constitution, then things like Susan Rice and the antics that are coming on display that were previously, you know, denied, and in the words of the administration, not one iota, not one smidgen of, you know, any part of this story did she know anything about. And now suddenly, I guess the haze has been lifted from her mind and she remembers a little bit. Well, and to be complicit in this whole process, you know, let's point fingers to the national media. I mean, we look to them to keep them honest, and we know how far that's gotten us in the last decade or so. And Eddie Scarry is with us right now. Eddie is a media reporter at the Washington Examiner, based in Washington, D.C. And his article, National Media Slow to Cover Susan Rice Unmasking Story. Eddie, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so what is it with the national media? I mean, they're really setting a tone here because, yeah, you know, there's some indicators, and I'm not one necessarily to live my life by polls, because polls tells us, it gives us, you know, and we went through a season of all kinds of wacky polls, so you try to figure out, okay, how important and significant are they, but they are some indication that the everyday American, the mainstream American, you know, could care two whoops about this Susan Rice story. And the national media kind of understands that, so they're just kind of saying, well, there's nothing here. And, I mean, even to the point that you got CNN and others refusing to report on the story because they have already declared it's fake news.
Yeah, so I guess the story broke 2 days ago. It kind of developed in some very vague sense in some conservative or right-leaning websites, but what really put it on the map was it was broken by a very, very well-known and respected journalist, especially in Washington, D.C., named Eli Lake. He works for Bloomberg View. And, you know, he wrote this. He said that's a legitimate person, a legitimate journalist, who, if this were any other story he broke that didn't sort of disrupt the growing narrative around Trump and Russia and the White House and Russian and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he broke the story, and you didn't really hear much about it. I was looking for... I personally like to watch a lot of MSNBC, I think, because it's pretty strictly politics on MSNBC. But after the story broke, hours go by, even into the primetime program, and I can't find anything about this. So I had to flip over to Fox, and they with their own reporting, were corroborating Eli Lake. So they had their sources, and they were doing it. So that's where I had to go to find it. But even, you know, we've been following, the national media has been following this issue with Trump claiming he's been spied on. And, you know, the increments of it have been, every single one has been front page news. When it came to the New York Times, the Washington Post, neither of them actually covered Eli Lake's story. They didn't even seem to pursue it. What they did was they followed up with stories. I think the Washington Post, the way they covered it was the White House reacting to it. That's how they flipped in. For the New York Times, the next thing, their headline was, Trump tries to distract from Russia. And then within there, you get about, I think, six paragraphs in, you start seeing the reports about Susan Rice. And it also said that the reports were in conservative websites, but that's not true. It was in Bloomberg View, which is very much not conservative. Eli Lake is not a conservative journalist. Even more, the nightly newscast, CBS, was the only one who covered it. You had ABC and NBC, neither of them covered it. So something is up there.
Well, Eddie, why would Susan Rice, as a national security advisor to President Obama, why would she request this information? What is her purview that allows her to do this if it wasn't for that late-night executive order in the final days of the Obama administration when he and Attorney General Loretta Lynch signed the edict opening up this information to a broader spectrum of security personnel within the administration?
Right, and there's a lot we don't know. All those are questions we really don't know the answers to, which has been, and I've written about this for the Washington Examiner, was whenever there's a big, or what would be a big report, an explosive report, a consequential report, whatever sources they are, they're anonymous, which is not, you know, terrible in itself, but the thing is they go just so far to reveal information up until you get the smoking gun. So, for example, with Mike Flynn, they said, yeah, there were sanctions discussed, but and supposedly there's transcripts of Mike Flynn, you know, talking about this with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. But no one in the media has seen the transcript, and if they've seen them, no one's reported on them. So why is it that there's these vague, you know, titillating bits of information leaked out, but we never get the smoking gun? And that has been the case since the transition period. We have not seen any smoking gun, and it's just like it's a lot of innuendo. And when it comes to the Susan Rice thing, you know, there might have been some innuendo there, but we couldn't even get it covered by the media. You know, at least it shows some consistency on that front.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Farkas was, you know, a bit of a smoking gun with the statements that she made that have been, you know, not only reported, you know, not to grave extreme, but MSNBC had the interview with her, and she was pretty open about what's going on. And it's like, you know, as I was listening to that interview, I mean, are people not hearing what she's saying here?
Well, here's what we've seen twice now on what you're referring to. We had her give this interview, and what she is very much, you know, if you take her at face value, she's saying we wanted to get as much intel as possible and pass it around. I think her follow up defense was, what I meant was I was scared that information that's supposed to be there would somehow get disappeared by the Trump administration. I was worried about that. Okay. But, you know, the thing is, she also comes out and says, well, I wasn't even working with the administration during this time, so I wouldn't have been in a place to tell. We saw similar things when it came to Trump coming out and saying he was wiretapped, you know, put that in quotes if you want, when he says he was wiretapped. Okay, we were led to believe, actually, by the news media, you know, that was the impression that was certainly given to, I think, most any reasonable person who read the report, was that Trump was being spied on, and, you know, and that there was a reason for it. But then after he made the claim, it was suddenly, no, we never said he was spied on by the Obama administration. We only said that, you know, these things exist and blah, blah, blah. So we get a lot of walk back after when you point to something the Democrat or the media has done that sort of backs up the opposite party's point. There's a big walk back suddenly that was, no, that's not what we meant. Or no, we weren't in a position to know that.
Mm. Well, once again, you know, and it brings into play, Eddie, the influence that the previous administration had over the media, which was revealed during the campaign, which I thought was quite arrogant. And they just kind of, you know, put it out there like it was acceptable. Ben Rhodes saying that he had editing authority and editorial authority over some of these news stories over, you know, these journalists, which really, I think, compromises their legitimacy as journalists and as news reporters.
Right, and that's something always good to remember was that Donald Trump, when he ran, I don't think he started out this way, and I don't think he knew his campaign would be what it became, but he ran against the establishment in Washington, and that includes both parties and includes the third party, the media.
Yeah.
So when it comes to talking about the influence that the Obama administration has, yeah, they had influence, and that is because they were all pretty much part of the establishment with the news media. So they were all in it together.
Well, when you have this kind of influence, that's very powerful political capital. Is it any wonder that the Obamas, now Valerie Jarrett, are living together in D.C.?
I've heard different reports on that's possibly not true. So I can't even say. I did see the initial report that said that she had moved in with them, but I think since then that has been at least rebutted by Valerie Jarrett. But who knows at this point? It wouldn't be surprising either way.
Exactly. That's the way it is. So much is not surprising. Eddie Scarry from the Washington Examiner. I'm Bill Martinez live. Eddie, thank you so much for being with us. Good stuff here.
All right. Thank you.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
What I felt was something more real than anything I've ever felt in my life.
From the studio that brought you God's Not Dead.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
A reporter on a quest to disprove his wife's newfound faith.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradiction.
Comes face to face with an unexpected outcome.
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going
to
be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Based on the best-selling book by Lee Strobel.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
The Case for Christ. In theaters April 7th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Find a theater at thecaseforchristmovie.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
You're one step away from surrender, one step away from coming home, coming home.
Bill Martinez, live.
One step arms wide open.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It's James Hurston time. You know what that means. New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. He is in the house right now. James, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, fantastic. Good to be in the house.
Hey, before we get into the movies with Miss Johansson, we got to talk a little bit of Gorsuch here. We've talked about this before, but we're getting closer. Dems are getting a little skittish. We've got 3 Dems that have said, look, I don't want to get embroiled in this. I think we're setting an ugly precedent. If we force the Republicans to go nuclear, they've seen the holster. They see the nuclear little weapon right there on the side of Mitch McConnell's belt, and they'd rather he just keep it in the, you know, in the holster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In other words, what they're afraid of is that if Donald Trump, President Trump, is in office either, you know, 4 years or 8 years, that there's a good chance that 1 or 2 or even more seats would come up. And once you establish the precedent of the nuclear option, that the Republicans will basically be able to turn the court ideologically, but particularly in terms of originalists. Anthony Kennedy, believe it or not, there's rumors that Anthony Kennedy may leave the court and retire. Everybody thought the next one would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
right,
who some people wonder if really, you know, there's a sort of weekend at Bernie's situation going on with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, where they're propping her up.
You think she's being propped up the whole deal?
Yeah, and yeah. So, you know, the Democrats aren't going to let her retire as long as there's a breath in her body.
Right.
They would wheel her in there, you know, no matter what. But in any case, you know, what the Democrats are doing is it's demagoguery. They're using the holdup on Merrick Garland as an excuse, because what the little reported story is that the real unprecedented act is the act of the Democrats in a partisan filibuster on a Supreme Court nominee, something that has never happened before. Mm-hmm. So Chuck Schumer is the person causing this unprecedented set of dominoes to fall. And it makes sense in a way, because the Democrat playbook today is all based on unprecedented, all based on non-governing, but not just obstruction, but embracing the word that the left is using, resistance.
Exactly.
And essentially causing a form of rebellion, throwing all their eggs in one basket, and that is to take down President Trump and his administration.
Yeah, what is it with the rallying cry? I mean, Hillary Clinton comes out of the woods and it's all about resistance. I mean, like, what are we here? You know, is this the Jedi Empire here that's revolting? What's going on?
Well, you know, I think the real story and the real reason the Democrats are doing this is not because they think that Donald Trump is bad for the country, but because they're afraid that Donald Trump is good for the country. Yeah. Donald Trump is piece by piece dismantling all of the basic policies that President Obama put into place. He is deregulating our economy. Mm. He is he's opened up the Keystone Pipeline and the both pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
He has changed the EPA rules allowing coal mining again. And he's doing as much as he could possibly do as an executive to bring jobs back into the country. He has meetings with business people, it seems like, on a very regular basis. And he's out there announcing this company, that company is now bringing their factories back to the United States. These things scare the Democrats because what that means is that they will be a minority party if Donald Trump is successful in for at least a generation, if not longer, and they like power, and they want to just grab into their power, and their friends in the bureaucracy, which is, you know, 90-plus percent leftist, and that includes the State Department, the Intelligence Department, the Justice Department, the IRS, these people are all on board with attempting to undermine and take down the current administration and their policies.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, James. I mean, you know, this president, I got to tell you, and this really lands right in the Oval Office. It lands in the lap of Barack Obama. The media isn't about to say anything. But America, Main Street America, isn't that stupid. What they're seeing here, first of all, to your point, the Democratic policies have failed miserably. You tell me any policy that was instituted by the Democrats during the last 8 years under President Barack Obama's administration that worked for the good of all concerned for this country. At every turn, it has been a disaster, number one. Number two, as he's exiting stage left, the guy's leaving landmines all over the place. He's compromised our national security. He's unmasked people who have decided to, for the good of the country, I mean, just for a good cause, they walked away from millions of dollars, successful businesses, careers to serve the country, and they deserve this kind of behavior and this kind of sabotaging from, of all people, the president, the outgoing president of the United States.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that's the other big risk for the Democrats. Speaking of unmasking, is that the story, the big story about the Obama administration spying on an incoming president and his team, the Obama administration politicizing the intelligence agencies, is being slowly unmasked. In today's big news, that Susan Rice, of all people, Susan Rice is at least one identified person working in the Obama administration that sought the names of Trump associates in intelligence unlawfully. She was the national security advisor, one of the highest-ranking intelligence people. How she was allowed by the mainstream press to take that job is really beyond the pale, because this is the same person who came out, appeared on all the Sunday shows, and lied blatantly about the Benghazi disaster, blaming it on a video over and over again, and never really receiving a proper accountability for those lies, those blatant lies.
She lied her way up.
That's exactly the best way to describe it.
Right.
And now she's the one who is named as committing what is probably, and possibly a crime, And, you know, the intelligence agencies, even Adam Schiff in the House committee, the ranking Democrat member, over the weekend basically sheepishly acknowledged that there really isn't any evidence of any collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Mm. And he had said the complete opposite earlier in the week, that not only there was evidence, there was beyond circumstantial evidence. Now he says, you know, it's zero evidence. So
not a scintilla now.
Now there appears to be, you know, now there's a name. Now we know Susan Rice. Now the question is, what was Susan Rice's involvement with General Michael Flynn? Yeah. Is she the source that released this to the press? That is a very serious felony. So if either one of these intel committees doesn't get Susan Rice in front of them under oath, that means they're not doing their job. But hats off to Congressman Devin Nunes, because he is a champion. And he,
reinforcing the issue here, no doubt about it.
Yeah, for about 10 days, the guy's been taking so much flack, undeservedly.
Right.
And instead, he deserves credit because he's acting on behalf of the best interest of the American people, and he may be one of the only ones on that committee that's doing that.
Yeah.
And on any of the committees, because you look at the Senate committee, and they might as well be led by the Democrats.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, with all these committee hearings, whether it's Benghazi or that, or you know, anything that Hillary Clinton did, we could never really find out. I mean, it's almost like they're a barking dog with no teeth, you know, so it just keeps going on and on. It gets weary. It's like, okay, well, then if you can't find the answer, if you can't subpoena, I watched Trey Gowdy, and when Trey Gowdy, as a prosecutor, knows that there's no fight worthy of the energy, he just folds his tent. So if he folds his tent, that's a sign to me that he realizes they're powerless.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, real quick here, James, because I want to talk about Scarlett Johansson's film. You say it's ensnared in whitewashing controversy. For those that don't understand what's going on with whitewashing, we're not talking, you know, doing a fence or anything like that, right? I mean, this isn't...
Yeah, what we're talking about is a practice that Hollywood engages in where they cast white actors or actresses to play non-white roles.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are groups, and this happens to be Asian Americans, because the movie that's out, The Ghost in the Shell, which bombed, by the way, over the weekend,
right,
which is Scarlett Johansson, queen of sci-fi, her latest thing, she's playing a character that is from a Japanese graphic novel. And so what the studio did is they had the writers change the character. And this is sci-fi, so you can do a lot of fanciful things.
Mm.
So Scarlett Johansson is playing basically an android, a robot, that inside of her is the consciousness of a Japanese girl. So it's white on the outside and Asian on the inside.
Oh.
So there's a group that for Asian Americans in Hollywood, they got real upset.
Oh.
And Scarlett Johansson was out promoting the film, and she says, well, I would never attempt to play a person of a different race. The studio gave her license to say this, but that just made people more angry. And the irony here is Scarlett Johansson campaigned for John Kerry, for Barack Obama, she for Hillary Clinton. She marched.
I was going to say, sounds like she channeled her Hillary Clinton on that response. Well, look, we got to leave it there, James, because we're all out of time, they tell us. James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Always, James, good to have you with us.
Great to be.
Hi, my name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Hewer's and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and 600 products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
It's called the